Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled The Generation That Could Not Enter God's Safe Rest. I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, Hebrews 4, 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the work were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on the sly, and God did rest seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Verse 9 reads, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as if God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example, or exhibit of unbelief. For the word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That is, of psuche and pneuma, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner or judge of the thoughts for the deliberation and intents. That is what is in the heart, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the cardia, that is of the heart. I want you to carefully notice the way the writer to this letter or this exhortation to the Hebrews is written. In chapter 4, the writer gives us a very careful understanding and theological interpretation of the wilderness experience of the people of God. And it is very interesting that not only does this writer give us the wilderness experience by the people of God as an example of what lack of faith created in their lives, but Paul also does in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And both the writer to the Hebrews and the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, for example, in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, Paul writes, "Now all these things happen unto them for example, and they are written for our admonition," which means to put into the mind upon whom the ends of the world come. And verse 12 reads, 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So the scripture provides very serious examples of what the Word of God means in history, what it means for a people to have the Word of God, and what the abrogation or the supplanting of that word creates within that environment or particular culture. It is very serious to have in one's midst. And so the writer to the Hebrews understood this. And so he goes back into salvation history and he speaks about the people of Israel in the wilderness and what God provided for them. God met their every provision. Now, in Exodus chapter 15, beginning at verse 25, we have these words. Now, we read, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah." So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and the law for them, and there he tested them. This is a very pivotal sentence that is coming up. Very pivotal. That is verses 25 and 26. He said, God said, "If you listen," it is if you hear, "if you listen carefully to the voice call of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. This is very pivotal. It is very important that we understand what God is saying here, or what God said to his people. Now, in verse 24, the word that is literally as grumbled in the Hebrew is the word lan, L-E-N. And this word is pivotal to the experience of God's people in the wilderness. Lan means to stay the night, to dwell and to dwell an indeterminate amount of time. Now, there are seven lan accounts, or we say grumbled, but lan accounts in the scriptures. So in Exodus 16:22, 17:23, Numbers 9:3-4, 14:3, Numbers 16:41, and 24:5. So, again, lan means to stay the night or to dwell an indeterminate amount of time. And so, here we have rebellion. And notice this rebellion takes place immediately after God's deliverance of his people in Exodus 15. And in Exodus 15, we have the song of Moses and the song of Miriam. God delivered his people from the Egyptians. In chapter 15, verse 3 reads, the Lord is a warrior. That is, he is the divine warrior. Then we have, in verse 8, this very powerful word picture, the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up, surged in waters, stood firm like a wall, or the surging waters congealed. In some manner, these waters congeal. That is the sentence of this text. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will take them, I will defy the spoils, I will gorge myself with them, I will draw my sword, my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them, and think like lead in the mighty waters. Verse 14, the nations will hear and tremble, anguish will grip the people of Philistia. Philistia was a sophisticated lake, Bronze Age culture of the ancient world. Verse 16 reads, by the power of your arm, that is the divine power of God. So we have in verse 3 that God is a warrior. And verse 10, the writer speaks of the breath of God. Verse 12, he talks about the right hand of God. And verse 16 talks about the arm of God. And so we have these pictures of divine power at work, and yet these individuals who witness the work of God in the first person, that is, through direct encounter, through immediate experience, fail to make or fail to appropriate for themselves what these divine, this pivotal divine that meant for their lives. So, in Exodus chapter 15, God says, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to keep his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So between the Exodus event and the conquest, we have this failure to understand and to appropriate by faith the work of God. And the meaning of that work of God for them as nation and for them individually. Lan, you say grumbled. Lan is a rejection of the history of liberation that has been divinely given and therefore its future. And please also note that Lun created sin. Lun created blindness and impatience that led to the misunderstanding of God, Psalm 95, verses 8 through 11, in Hebrews chapter 4. So, we see the results of Lun in chapter 16 of Exodus. The whole Israelite community, this is Exodus Lun, set out from Edom and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Edom and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had left Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled, again the word is Lun, against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only, notice the language, notice the ad hominem language, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in there, that is in Egypt, we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert, starve this entire assembly to death. So, God has shown his provision for them at the waters of Marah. Moses has thrown wood through the bitter waters, that is, the poison waters, and they became sweet. And this is a picture of Christ. The bitterness of life, the bitter experiences of life are done away in Christ. The bitterness of the past, the bitterness of rejection, the bitterness of abuse, verbal, physical, sexual, etc., all these abuses, all these very tragic realities, the bitter waters of life are done away in Christ. They fail to understand what God is doing. Because Lun is about the self. Lun is about narcissism. So we see communal narcissism in the wilderness and what it did to the people of God. In chapter 16, we have memory distortions about their experience in Egypt. There, we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve us and ascend us to death. And so, here's my basic thinking. Here, we see cognitive distortion, memory distortion. And so, we see how Lun disrupted the entire community. And so they were dissatisfied with anything God did for them. In chapter 17, verse 1, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim again, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses, saying, "Give us water to drink." And so here, and in Numbers 11, we have the verb rib, which means to quarrel or to end. It also means a legal controversy. Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled again. Here it is fun. They grumbled against Moses, said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children?" Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, take in your hand that which struck the Nile. Go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people." Again, all right. And in Hebrew, this the rock here is a sharp, craggy rock. Sharp, craggy rock. 1 Corinthians 4, Paul gives us typical significance of this rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4, Paul tells us that Jesus is the rock who was bitten for his people, that they might have living water of the Holy Spirit. 7:37. So Christ was typified in their experience. God wonderfully met their needs. God wonderfully provided for his people. But because of persistent mental attitudes then, due to lan, that is, that the idolatry of lan, the idolatry of mental attitude sin, that is idols in the heart, created unbelief. See, the real problem for the people of God in the wilderness was unbelief and a desire to return to the past life. So Moses was brought into the blame game. Well, he was there to direct. And so they were also opportunistic. And so we would see their optimistic attitude throughout the wilderness event. See, the spiritual, spiritually-minded believer, or spiritually-minded such as Joshua and Caleb, know that every difficulty needs is an opportunity for testing yourself and trusting the Lord. Lord of baptism. We know that do for the next word. Joshua, Caleb, did not have the word possible in their vocabulary. Therefore, that word did not shake their soul. So, note the attitude, the learned attitude, shape the understanding of God's people. Therefore, created unbelief in their heart toward God. Now, the writer to the book of Hebrews took this deep experience. And this is what he wrote, once again, Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Remember, Christ is typified throughout their experience and throughout their lives. God graciously met every provision, every need of his people. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Now, in the Greek, this word did not profit them. It's an absolute, they call it absolutification. But the word preached did not profit them, not in a qualified condition, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into this rest. And the word rest here is to make God's wrath makes labor the trial that stands in our lives, in our heart. God makes peace the path that so shapes our lives and experience. God makes peace our own wealthy, our own. God may help me of death that we may have assigned ourselves by the wisdom or God recognizes that there are those who choose in such a way that to say we want to end our lives. Certainly they okay for us. God sees the heart. The way that God knows the depths of the heart. God knows the needs of the heart. Especially in the culture, in our fragmented world, this people have so many beliefs.